Union County Writers Club meeting, because I'm an author and I've written several books. But the connection we made really didn't have a whole lot to do with books at the time, because I shared with you, just kind of in passing, an event that happened to me, and you said that's very interesting, so I guess I'll just kind of jump to that event. So I'm a seasoned athlete, even though I'm a little bit older, and I coach other athletes, and we compete internationally, so I get, you know, look at the shirt I'm wearing, it says Team USA on it, so when in my category, I'm one of the higher ranked athletes in the world, but I was on a training event, and I was cycling off of the Blue Ridge Parkway, and I was going downhill, so downhill is one of the skills you have to learn as a cyclist, and you have to go really fast, and you have to take turns at high speeds. It's just one of the skills you learn. It's like if you work in a kitchen, you have to learn how to get French fries out of the fryer and in front of the customer in 5 minutes or less.
Yes.
It's one of the skills, and cycling downhill at high speeds is one of them. And I hit a specific corner on this route that I've hit many times before, and I just didn't judge it correctly. I was distracted by a bird in the trees, and I could not make the corner. And I couldn't break in time. So I flew off of a bridge. And I know that, what do you mean flew off of a bridge? All kinds of visuals come to mind. So The fireman who had to come back to the scene to clean up the wreckage from my bike said I fell 31 feet before I hit anything.
Mm.
And I don't know how far it was in the air, but you know, I did a couple of somersaults, back wheel over front wheel. And when I was in the air, I basically got to have my 15 moments of glory. But it only lasted,
literally, right?
It only lasted 2.3 seconds. So my bike computer said from when I hit to when I stopped moving was 2.3 seconds. But during those 2.3 seconds, I had a very long and very detailed conversation with God. For sure, it was the longest of my life.
Mm.
And during those 2.3 seconds, he revealed everything to me. When I say everything, it was a bit of scary everything.
Mm.
Like, he shared with me every woman I'd ever slept with. Every person I'd ever told a lie to. Every person who I avoided telling the whole story to because I feared some sort of backlash. And all I could say was the name Jesus. There was nothing else left. I was a 50-something-year-old male. I was retired. My kids were done with school. My wife was well taken care of. That checklist, that proverbial bucket list that we all had, I had nailed mine. I had killed it. I felt I had been given the gift of the good life. I was living what King Solomon had lived. But I did go into that corner thinking I probably had a quarter century left before my time was up. At least that's what the mathematicians at the insurance companies would say. Well, I was challenging the mathematicians while I was flying through the air at those speeds, knowing good and well that I was on a bike made out of carbon. And I didn't have anything but, you know, 64th-inch spandex Lycra on. And there was a raging river below. I say raging, that's an exaggeration. There was a river below me with only rocks and gravel on each side of it. And I was going to hit something, and there wasn't going to be a lot between me and the something. That part was a certainty. And I did what I thought I could to try to prepare myself for eternity. You know, see, I'm good, God. Thank you for taking me as I am. I am grateful that you gave me children. I am grateful that you gave me a loving wife. I am grateful that I'm leaving this world better off than I found it based on what I did. Oh, by the way, I don't really want to go right now. But apparently that's not part of the deck. That wasn't in the cards. And I hit the rock in the riverbed below. And the craziest thing possible happened. I mean, when I say crazy, like, this is my crazy things in my life. I stood up. You see, my front wheel of my bike hit first. And my front forks on my bike, the suspension system on my bike, it literally shattered. It splintered. It was carbon. It splintered. My front wheel shot off down into the river about 15, 20 feet below me. But my knees, my feet, they never hit the ground. They stayed attached to my bike, and my bike frame absorbed all the contact.
Wow.
So my right side hit the handlebars, and I blew my right lung. It was called a pneumothorax is what the doctors called it. And I broke 7 out of 8 ribs, and I blew my shoulder joint. My shoulder's still messed up. I could feel the lump right here still. But I stood up. Now, granted, I couldn't talk because my lung was a mess. I couldn't raise my right arm. But both of my legs worked. Well, I knew I didn't have cell signal. That was, like, factual because that part of the Blue Ridge Parkway's got nothing. So I needed help. and I wasn't going to just quote unquote get it. I couldn't just dial 911 or hope somebody's GPS would locate me with Find My Phone or something. That wasn't going to happen. So I had about, I'm a Boy Scout, so I knew I had about 2-3 minutes before shock was going to set in. So I just got off my bike and used my two legs and my one working arm, and I climbed up the sides of the ravine into the riverbed and just laid down on the road. And I went back to the scene of the wreck about a year later, and I still had, you know, PTSD brains. But I just laid down. I said, either someone's going to run over me and I'm going to die, or they're going to stop, and I still might die because I don't know how bad my internal wounds are, but they're pretty bad. But if I stay down there, for sure I'm going to die. There was no way I was going to die. I knew the scope of my internal damage was too much. And sure enough, a guy came along and stopped, and he couldn't help me because he didn't have cell signal. I do remember him introducing himself. His name was Gary. And he asked me what my name was, and all I could do was go, because the act of exhaling and creating words was just too painful with all the broken ribs and the lung being a total train wreck. But he sent one car down the mountain and another car up the mountain to try to find somebody who would try to get to a place where they could get cell signal so they could call 911. Well, lucky for me, there was an ambulance just pulled over at the bottom of the valley. So I was in a truck, an ambulance, headed for the hospital within about a half an hour, which is pretty darn amazing. Granted, my pain was, you know, skyrocketing and the shock had set in. But the first hospital could do nothing for me. They took a bunch of x-rays, gave me some morphine. They didn't have my name, because I wasn't wearing any ID and I couldn't talk. But they put me right back on the truck and told the ambulance drivers, you need to send them to a bigger, better hospital. We don't have resources to heal this kind of train wreck. And it's great that they described me as a train wreck.
Wow.
It was a bike wreck, doggone it.
Yeah.
So anyways, they took me to Asheville and I ended up spending 4 days in Asheville. And during that time I was in Asheville, I made a peace with the fact that I really am getting a second chance right now.
Mm-hmm.
I should be dead. I don't have anything missing from my first half of life that I wish I had done. I didn't have that. Darn it, I wish I had climbed Mount Everest. You know, I wish I had been to Kilimanjaro. I wish I had competed in a world championship. Because I had all those things on my list. I all had lines through it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But God said, I'm not done with you. What do you want me to do? And it was pretty obvious what he wanted me to do. He says, I'm giving you an epic story because you're my epic storyteller. I want you to tell epic storytellers. My very first encounter with the Holy Spirit was wearing a guitar, playing lead guitar in a ministry setting at a church in Columbia, South Carolina with a couple hundred people in attendance. Oddly enough, the pastor of the church, the first time I ever went there, said, we need a new lead guitarist. Our current one is retiring. If you'd like to, he's moving on. It's like he's moving back to California. So I went and told the pastor, I said, hey, I play guitar. I'll do it. He said, you're great. You're in. Well, he never asked if I was a Christian or not. He just said, hey.
Great. You're in.
You're in. So I left. Second weekend, we're playing our worship sets together. So I'm starting to experience a lot of tears. I'm crying. The lead singer at the time, a guy named Dennis, he says, dude, he's from California. He said, dude, the Holy Spirit's all over you. Well, I won't use the exact phraseology I used, but I asked him, who's the Holy Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
He says, wow, our lead guitarist doesn't know who the Holy Spirit is.
Mm-hmm.
And so my very first encounters with him are always public and extreme and all that goes with that. And so ever since that bike wreck and recognizing that this is a second chance for me, a couple of major things happened. One, I do not have much opinion, care, whatever, about what other people think about me, since every breath I have here is a borrowed one. It's an extra one.
Yes.
I know it should not be the case that it took dying for me to realize that every breath I get is a special breath.
Let me
got right into it.
Let me ask you this, Jeff. What did I know this is probably the question you get all of the time, so I'm gonna follow what everyone else probably have asked you. What did God say to you? What did you see? Did you go to heaven? Where did you go? What did you see?
So some of it came to me as I was laying in bed by myself in the trauma ward because there wasn't anybody to interact with. It was COVID, so they didn't do any elective procedures. My nurses all told me I was their only patient or I was only one of two because, you know, it was a lot of the time I was laying in bed there, I was thinking about other people who'd experienced a parallel moment. People who knew they had moments left who had COVID. People who were already dead in heaven and didn't have a choice anymore, but yet there they were. I thought about the things that are most special to us. Sometimes our pets, sometimes our children, our parents. Like, you have a picture of your mom here behind them. What's special to us? What's it like for them now that they're in heaven? And so those kinds of questions started occupying my mind, and I started realizing that even though I didn't know the answer to them, God was giving me this capacity to think about them in a way that I'd never thought about them before, because I was right there. There was this moment when I was flying through the air when I felt like God asking me, do you want to stay there, or do you want to come be with me now? And I remember, it was a very thought-provoking moment, not just an emotional moment, but it's like, why do you need my opinion? Is what I was thinking God was, he was asking that. I've always assumed that mortality was God's choice. I know there's suicide in the world, but I always thought the time and the date and the place were all things that were part of his divine reach. The idea that I was being given input into that decision was beyond my training. It wasn't what I'd understand in the scripture. And when he did that, I asked him, I said, why do you need my input? He said, I don't, but I want it. That was a paradigm shift for me in my think of God. He wants to know what I think eternity's like. He wants to know what the pathway to eternity's like. He wants to know what I think about that. And that for me was the shift. That's why I started doing a lot of the writing that I do. I find it most interesting to think about those things for which we do not have guidance. We don't have a game plan for it. In one of my stories, I told you about this stuff before we started the show. I write a story about two men, one from the north, one from the south, killed 10 minutes into the Battle of Gettysburg. And they're both standing in line waiting to get to the judgment seat of the Lamb. And both men are disgusted that the other's there. They don't know how in the world God could have gotten it so wrong to allow that damn Yankee or that stupid person from the south who doesn't even read the Bible, how he could possibly let both of those people into heaven. They didn't understand how that worked. And that's a reasonable question. I don't know how many people who I've met who deem to be strong Christians, they have people in their life who they've canceled, they don't want anything to do with, they feel that God is nowhere near that person. Yet, I wonder when they get to eternity and they see that that other person is there, how their paradigm is going to shift.
Interesting. Very, very interesting.
So that's my death.
So you didn't see, like, you know, some people say no lights and all. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I have in my fictional writing, I described that God was giving me lists and lists of things that mm-hmm. I had done right and things that I had done wrong. And I was creating a visualization for the word when it says, you know, all things will be made known.
Right.
I decided he was going to do that during mid-flight in my bicycle. It didn't happen in the real world, but as I reflected on it, I knew that had I told him, yes, I'm ready to be with you, that was next. Like, there wasn't going to be a pause between my earthly death and me getting to have my judgment, me getting to see all of the things that I chose to do and all the things that I chose not to do. I could see that that was about to be the next thing in my life. That's what happens when you're about to die. You get to see things in a non-chronological way.
Mm-hmm. So all of the things, now that you're still here with us, all of the things that he pointed out to you, did you go back and try to reconcile any of those things?
Certainly some of them I have. There's no doubt that I definitely addressed some of them, but some of them are still in process. I mean, this is only, I don't know. Well, I do know. 3 years and 2 months removed.
Okay.
So it's not that.
Got you. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So some of it's still in process. Like, the passion to write is still there. I was working on my 11th book just last night. I was working on it before we came over here to see you this morning. So part of it is still in process. But there's still broken relationships in my life that haven't healed. There's some that I don't perceive will heal, perhaps, until I get to heaven. But I'll tell you one thing. I used to believe that you and I were born and we were meant to be in relationship with one another from cradle to grave. That's one of the things I used to believe. That is not true. I have been taught by God that our relationships shall extend into eternity. Like, Sharon, when I see you in eternity, I do not know if you and I are going to remember this. We'll even have a memory of it, because that may not be how God chooses to roll in eternity. But I'm going to have a relationship with you in eternity. That's pretty freaking cool to think like that. And so for me, I've I've altered my paradigm on what I think relationship means, because I'm now convinced it's beyond those few years we spend here on Earth. Like, mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to having some sit-downs with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Oh, yeah.
And say, so how did you know that the animal was in the thicket over there?
Yeah.
Is it, like, yelling out to you, or did you have to go see it?
You know? Did you hear it? You know, the Bible says, you know, that, yeah, that the ram was stuck in the thickets, you know? So I'm thinking, we don't know, right?
I want to ask that question.
You want to, yeah, right? Yeah. So you want to dig into it.
That's in the B section of the newspaper. Not yeah. Just read the front page, a.k.a. the Old Testament.
I hear you, Jeff. Wow. You know what? Listening to your story again, I'm just still fascinated by it, because you gave such I was there to see it description, because I literally saw everything that you were describing. And you are a walking miracle, my friend.
I know, right?
Yes. You are a miracle.
You know,
a miracle.
It doesn't normally come up when I tell this story, but let me give you the chapter 3, chapter 4 version of that.
Okay.
And I can sometimes get choked up when I tell this. One of the things I know God does not want us to do is be fearful. Right? He says,
right.
Do not fear, I cannot count the number of times. One of the most likely events that occurs to a human being who goes through a trauma, because that's what I did, I went through a trauma, is they become fearful of a repeat event. If you ask somebody who's been struck by lightning what comes to mind when it starts thunder and lightning outside again, they're not going to tell you, I'm scared it's going to hit the house next door.
Right.
They aren't. They're going to tell you they're scared it's going to hit them, because they've already been through it.
Right.
And part of what you have to learn in life is to look at those fears, right? The Old Testament, we hear the stories about how they put down the staff with the snake on it, and they said, just look at the staff.
Yeah.
Face your fear.
To be healed. To be healed.
But it took facing that fear. You had to look that staff in the eye, kind of thing. So my fear was I was not going to ever get back on my bicycle. I was going to leave the sport that I knew God had called me to do. I love triathlon, duathlon, and go with it. So once I could get back on my bicycle, I trained as hard as I could. And there was a race, it's called the Grand Fondo National Series, but they had a major event. I'm going to say it was 4 months later, 3 months later, something like that. And I trained as hard as I could for it. And I got second in the nation.
Wow.
With a blown, literally, I could still feel some of the yikes in my ribs from when it hurt. My shoulder's still a mess. You probably can't see it from your angle, but just so y'all know, Sharon's sitting about 6 feet from me. My bone is sticking
I see
up,
it. Right?
Yeah,
I see it.
My bone is off by like an inch. On this side, it's normal.
Right.
It goes with it. And I can't put a value on what it meant for God to say, not only am I going to let you come back, but you're going to come back better than ever.
Wow.
You know, we all know the stories of football players who get injured in their careers. But a few of them get injured and they come back better than ever. And I feel like God, that was one of the gifts he gave me.
You know what, Jeff? I just had a thought.
What's that?
The thought is this. Yes, we see your bone protruding slightly. That's a reminder, brother.
It is.
Every time you get up in the morning, you know, and you shower and you rub across it, you remind yourself, I'm a miracle.
I call it my cycling tattoo.
Yeah.
It's the broken bone of reminder.
Speaking of cycling, you were telling me you did a cycle trip, and I don't know the exact terminology in your cycling world.
Sure, fair enough, yeah.
But you did a cycling trip. You were in, did you tell me, Spain?
Yeah, so my son and I are co-owners in the business now, but my wife very much plays a role too. But I take people on epic cycling adventures. So things that you say, one day I'm going to get around to it, one day I'd like to do it. Most people never get around to it, right?
Yeah.
So I help people get around to those big items. So I take them cycling in Spain and in France. I don't have any intentions of taking people cycling in Italy because of the logistics, but I've done it and I love it. But our main one is we do one right here, literally in our part of the country. It's the Blue Ridge Parkway. It's just stunning. It's 469 miles. It's up, down, up, down, up, down for 7 days of cycling. It is hard. When you're done, you have accomplished something. The wildlife, it's safe.
Wow.
It's an engineered highway, so there's no places where you're descending out of control.
Okay.
And it's never so steep uphill that you have to get off and walk. It's never like that.
Okay.
It's a well-engineered, designed highway. And so I take people and do that every year. And people tell me when they do it, they are different. People are changed by these epic cycling tours. You do stuff you never thought you could.
Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think, Jeff. I'm not going to say I can't do it, but I don't know. I just don't know. You said cycling 400 and how many miles,
yeah.
brother?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So where's your starting point?
So my starting point is Romans 12:1. It's offer your body as a living
sacrifice.
It's the only time God ever uses something called a living sacrifice. Everything before Romans 12 was dead.
Okay.
Christ, he died. He came back, but he still died.
Right.
In the temple, you sacrificed animals, and that was it.
Yeah.
Going forward, beyond Romans 12, Christ still represents our sacrifice, but he's a resurrected one. When you offer yourself as a living sacrifice, that means you're repeating your sacrifice. It's an ongoing event. It's not this snapshot in time, like fasting for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Offering your body as a living sacrifice, it's kind of like the application of the story of the talents. How are you going to choose to reduce the resources that are given to you? Most of the people who get the most out of it are old people.
Really?
Because they're retired.
Yeah.
All their friends are stuck in walkers or nursing homes, or they feel like a big event in life is going out to a new restaurant. These guys are like, no, I'm going to keep training and pushing because I don't want to have the life of a fish in a fish tank. I want the life of a fish in the ocean.
Yeah,
I don't want the life of a fish in the fish tank.
So how does one train to do this? And where is the starting point in the natural? Tell me that.
You train. I use science. I use the teachings of science that shows how to use exercise physiology to get better. And that's like probably a whole other show here. But
right.
We go from Rockfish Gap, Virginia, which is the northern terminus. So that's I don't know, it's closer to Maryland than it is to here, for sure.
Okay.
And then we cycle, you know, through Virginia for 3 days, and then there's 4 days in North Carolina, and we end in Cherokee, North Carolina.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, you, of course, you stop along the way.
Yeah, every night, my wife takes ownership over making sure everybody's bags are in their rooms, and you have food and nutrition. So we own all food, all hydration, all transportation of your goods. The only thing you need to concern yourself with is sitting on that bicycle and going left, right, left, right, left, right.
Now, it takes, obviously, a special kind of bike to do this.
In general, there's a few kinds that are best and a few kinds that just won't work.
Like got
a unicycle, that ain't happening. But mostly, I've seen people do it on triathlon bikes, regular bikes. Somebody did it on a gravel bike with Thickert this last year. Somebody did it on a gravel bike.
Wow.
So you can do it on different kinds of bikes.
Okay.
Yeah, there's certain bikes that are easier.
Okay.
It's like driving a car.
Yeah.
You can take an RV if you want to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
There's just better ways to get there.
You all, let me tell you, Jeff, when I first met Jeff, this man knows how to say the funniest things. And but it has such truth to it. And he says it with such a straight face. That's what makes it even funnier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tell us about your books.
So the one that I have in front of me, the one that I talked to you about, it's called Letters to and From Eternity. It's certainly the most it's most thought-provoking of the books I've written. It always includes responses from people. Everybody gets a chapter or two out of that thing and finds it really touching them. I mean, you get letters in the mail, too. I remember I got one from care of my father-in-law. I got one from former governor of Connecticut.
Mm.
I think it was one person that wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
And don't hold me to that. Though I'm on air, I guess I have to be held to it. Somebody, a former official from Connecticut, sent me a letter how that touched him. But former pastors. I have a story in here about a young man with Down syndrome trying to talk to God and trying to help God understand his position and have God offer him more sympathy because people don't understand him. I've got a story in here about a dog who's waiting for his master to arrive in heaven. God makes all things new, so why not pets? And it's written from the perspective of a dog.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had many people over the last 2 years that it's been written have told me how much that touched them to know that the idea that it's reasonable, if not probable, that our pets will be with us in eternity. for some people that was heartfelt. And to hear the stories from the dog about the dog telling the master what their life with them was like, and feeling some of the pain that the dog felt because the master didn't realize what he was doing on earth was actually hurting the pets. For a lot of people, that's very insightful kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And you were sharing with me before we came on that those stories are real stories, but you just changed names and all,
they
right?
They have a component in reality. They're all fictional tales, of course, but they have a component in reality in that they were people or places that I either knew of or personally knew.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a couple stories in here for which the people in the story themselves, the people who were the story themselves, they're still alive. And so I went and took those stories by those people and asked them, are you okay with this? If obviously the person telling the story is already dead, I don't need their permission.
Of course
not.
So
I don't do that.
Right.
But I very much took the time to encounter some of those people. And for some people, they were very okay with me leaving it at is. I had two different people who I ran these stories by that were about them.
Mm-hmm.
Some trauma from them that I knew about. And each of them had a couple of glasses of wine as I read the story. I love them because they were having a micro trauma, reliving it.
Wow.
But they're also deeply touched to see that, you know, God can take all things and use them for good, including stories of rape and incest, stories of death from COVID, you know, stories of abortion, things like that. People don't fathom God can, in fact, really do things to heal those things and make them right, regardless of our opinion in the present.
Right.
In eternity, God really does use those things for good, and I feel blessed that I know how to tell those kinds of stories.
Mm-hmm. That is so wonderful, Jeff. I've enjoyed speaking with you.
It's fun to be here on places like this. A lot of people don't understand that there's people all around you who got to the edge of heaven and came back.
Mm-hmm.
And have an insight that isn't readily shareable with the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you one thing we all seem to have in common too, and that's a resilience for the temporal. Like, I don't care who's elected president. I don't care what kind of ticket I get for speeding. I don't really care what happens in downtown Monroe with water and electricity and stuff like that, because I understand the sovereignty of God now in a way that I just cannot look at that stuff and say it's important. I just can't do it anymore. It's not honest.
Wow. Wow, because the word that you used is sovereign, and he's over everything.
He is
over everything. Wow. Any final words? How can people get your books?
So you can go to Amazon and type in Jeff Gora. That's easy. You can go to jeffgora.com.
And spell your last name, because you know how I spelled it in order to be able to.
The truth of the day. Y'all, she is not stretching it here when she says she's not so good with names. I'm just saying it. It's like the girl's name, Laura. So it's GAURA. And I currently have 4 books I've published under TBN. And you can get those from any of the major sources. Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Amazon, or direct off my website as well. And I have another package.
Well, give people your website. Give people your website address.
It's my name, jeffgora.com.
jeffgora.com. Mm-hmm.
You can get it there. And I have a podcast series that I do as well.
Tell us about the podcast briefly so people can listen.
I might actually be integrating it right here a little bit with these folks here, because she was talking about expanding their offerings here. So I try to bring on people who've overcome some major adversity or are attempting to overcome mediocrity.
Mm-hmm.
And I call them threshold stories, people who overcome their thresholds. And oftentimes I'm interviewing some of the athletes I coach, especially as they do well. If they do well and earn a medal at a national championship or at a world championship and make our country look good.
Mm-hmm.
But I also interview just some people who've had some hard things in life and they've overcome, because there's always some lessons to be gleaned from them.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like in every community there's a Ruth and there's an Esther.
Yes.
You just got to go find those women and get them to talk.
Right.
And podcast is a great way to do that. So if you guys know of anybody who's got an Esther or Ruth kind of story, I'd be more than willing to talk to them and see if we can't do a show about it.
So now how do people listen to your podcast?
So you can go to any of your podcast tools, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever, and just type in Threshold Stories.
Threshold Stories.
Okay. Threshold Stories, though, is how most people find them.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff.
You are welcome.
We love you, my brother.
We love you.
You're welcome back anytime. I know you were blessed. I know that you were, by my friend and brother, Jeff Gora. And I don't know why I can remember Jeff's last name. I just don't know. I don't know. Maybe because of the way I wrote it down. I wrote it like I would say it, and Jeff spells it like he spells it. But I wrote it so that I could say it. Oh, yeah. You've been listening to Testimonial Tuesday with Jeff Gora. Follow us on Facebook, and it is New Life Gospel Radio Network at WDEX WADE. We'll post a picture there of Jeff and I, so you'll be able to put a voice with a face. Remember his name, Jeff Gora. On next Tuesday, right here on New Life Broadcasting, a very special guest will be Gabby Dillard out of Atlanta, Georgia. And this young lady has a testimony of how God took her from one place to another place and expansion. Talk about enlarging territory. He did that for her. So I want you to tune in with us again on next Tuesday at the 10 o'clock hour right here on WDEX 1430 AM and WDEX 100.1 FM. We're located in Monroe, North Carolina, and WADE 1340 AM and WADE 101.7 FM. In Wadesboro, North Carolina. And of course, you can always take New Life Broadcasting with you wherever you go. Log on to the website, www.newlifectof.org. Click the link. Listen to New Life Broadcasting live 24/7. And if you would like to be on one of our Testimonial Tuesdays, reach out to us. Give us a call. 704-289-WDEX. That's 704-289-WDEX. Or you can email us, newlifectof3216@yahoo.com. Thank you. I just wanted you to talk.
It's very energizing.
Because I knew you had a lot to say. And I just asked, you know, as we were going through.
Yeah.
That was good.
So with my, let's talk about the future here for a second.
Yeah.
Getting caught up in the present. So I typically podcast about once every 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay.
And I have a studio at my house that I use for that with the high-def cameras. I got an audio setup I use as well. This is nicer, but I have one that I use. It's a 4-channel board, not like you have many channels here. And I'm always at a shortage for finding people willing to get on and tell a story that other people would find interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where I live in nowhere, Unionville, you know, the big story is, you know, darn cow got out of here. That's just not very interesting. But that's the main story.
Right.
I feel like I live Andy Griffith kind of life out there.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. So finding people who've had something crazy or epic happen to
them. Yeah.
So people who've gone through heart attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Those are good. Just typically mm-hmm. they have something fundamental to say. I've done some people who've been raped. I've had a couple of them. That's probably one was mm-hmm. a man.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
7 years. He was 7 till he was 15. 7 till he was 11. It was just
wow.
Yeah. So I have stories that are powerful, impacting mm-hmm. all of those with it. And a lot of my books are like that too.
Wow. I'll be happy to be on your podcast. Because let me tell you.
All right. That'd be great. We got to pick a time and a date.
Okay. You tell me. Yeah. I'm normally off on Wednesdays. Now
Wednesdays is a great day for me.
Huh?
Wednesdays is A+ for me.
Okay. Now this, it's not on this calendar, so my other one. I haven't yet put it in my phone. Oh, June. This Wednesday is a no-no for me.
How about July the 5th?
Okay, we're going to July. Let's see. Jeff said, I don't have time for all of that. I don't have anything on July 5th.
So I am okay. up every day somewhere between 5 and 6. And I need about 10, 15 minutes with you beforehand. Because in podcasting world, audio, well, you're in radio. Audio is everything, so I got to get the mixing right. It's a little bit different each time.
Okay.
So,
Well, Jeff, just so that you know, and let's be clear, I'm not coming to your house at whatever time.
No, that's fine. That's what I'm saying. I'm just trying to give you some parameters.
Okay.
From here, it's about 30 minutes to get here. So it's going toward Marshville, if you know where that is.
I know where Marshville is, yes.
So what time do you want to do it?
What about 10? Is 10 too late?
Well, and I can do it. You want to do 11 and we can have lunch afterwards?
That's fine.
Let's do 11.
Okay, 11. 11 a.m. And your name of the podcast is Threshold
Stories.
Threshold Stories.
How many kids do you have?
I have two sons. They're adults. Yeah. My oldest lived in California, but then he moved back here. I'm so glad. He's in Charlotte. And then my baby is... His birthday is Monday, by the way. He lived in Las Vegas, and then he moved back here. So I'm so glad about that too. So I have two. My husband was a Navy chaplain, and
you said was he passed away?
No. He retired.
Okay.
So yeah, passed him. So he's retired from everything now. I'm jealous, but yeah.
I retired not long before COVID happened.
We didn't talk about ways to stay safe.
No, we never did.
I'm going to have you back on. So you can talk about ways to stay safe.
I just sent you the address and everything.
Okay. How'd you send that?